This is Lotto, and you're listening to the Dana Cortez Show.
Is it my responsibility to wake my husband up in the morning? Okay, good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Why would you even question that?
Well, let me explain. You have been upset with me lately because we're running late, and you're blaming me for not waking up earlier. DJ Automatic.
Being late has nothing to do with me. It's the fact that you want to play with the cat all the time.
Okay, you said that you want me to wake you up earlier. Dana, wake me up earlier. Sir, you have a phone. You have an alarm. You could buy an old school clock. Do you remember the sound of the old school alarm clocks?
I'm pretty sure when we got married, it's like death do us part, but right before that, you wake up your husband also.
No, that is not it. And not only did that annoy me that you complained to me that, why aren't you waking me up? I'm like, wake yourself up. When I try to sleep late, Anthony, on the weekends, Automatic will not allow it.
I'm
in full REM. Yeah. Like, it might be like 5 a.m. You don't understand. That's sleeping late in our world. All of a sudden, I hear some stupid TikTok or Instagram video to the left of me.
Oh, no.
And then he's clicking, and then he gets up and goes to the bathroom, and it's not quiet. When I walk to the bathroom, it's like this.
Damn. That's a little bit of a different topic amongst the sleeping umbrella, but automatically, do you not let people sleep when it's time for them to sleep in?
No.
5:30 is time to get up.
It is not time to get up. I'm quiet like a little mouse. Otto is slamming doors. Opening. Did you see this? I'm asleep. I didn't see anything. I don't.
It might be breaking news, and I need you to know.
It is not breaking news.
And I need somebody to talk to about.
And yet, when I wake you up, you get so upset.
I'm just asking you to wake me up.
Only when we go to work.
Yeah.
But if you're sleeping, napping on the couch or something, oh my gosh, he has a fit. But nobody else can sleep.
I don't know if you, and you've never been married, but it's also in a wife's job for some reason to wake you up when you're in deep, deep sleep on the couch just because you might look a little too comfortable. She's like, let me find something for this man to do. He looks comfortable.
Half the time, I don't even know you're napping. You're sitting there. You look like you're awake. You fall asleep sitting up. Babies and you. You just pass out. Anthony, when's the last time that somebody had to wake you up?
Somebody woke me up was when I overslept here and Automatic had to wake me up.
So technically, there you go. I'm waking Anthony up.
Yep. I think Dana, it is a little bit of your obligation to give him the situation and wake Automatic up. Because like when we get to the studio, you do small stuff like ask him to turn your light on.
Well,
so if you're going to ask him to turn your light on, then the
favor should be
returned home. I think that's one of the quirks of like working with your partner. We're like, I don't have to experience that, but y'all got to figure that out.
Well, you're a grown man. You seem to arrive and wake up on time. Yeah. I'm just wondering what Automatic depends on me. And the light situation.
When am I late to anything?
I am 5'2". I can't reach anything here.
When am I late to anything? I'm not late to anything.
Never.
I'm the one who makes you on time.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to wake you up tomorrow. I'm going to be like a little mouse in my shower, everything else. Let's see what happens.
Will you call me out?
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Today's Crazy Crimes of Passion, we're going all the way back to March 20th of 2021 when Jesse Huey himself called authorities. He called 911. So let me tell you what's happening in his home. His wife, her name is Linda, had back surgery. So during this, her parents decided to come stay and help out. Her parents are Tanya and Ronald Kohler. So they're at her home and they're helping out. Now, her husband is annoyed by them. He feels like they're completely disrespectful. They've taken over his home.
But they're helping his wife.
Right. But he doesn't want him there anymore. It's been going on for months. They've been coming and going. He said that the mother, Tanya, would just open the door when she wanted, eat what she wanted, and he just felt like it was time for them to leave. Now, when he had the conversation with his wife, she said she didn't want them to leave. So he ended up murdering all three of them.
Oh, my God.
His wife and his in-laws as well. Now, after he finished, he himself called authorities. You know, he told them, I'm not going to fight you. You can come in and arrest me. Here he is during an interrogation with the police.
I went down there and I walked in and they're all sitting there in the kitchen.
Your missus downstairs.
Downstairs. I walked in and I said, Ron and Linda, you need to leave. And my wife said, they're not going anywhere. I'm the half owner of this place. They stay here as long as they want to. So I went outside. I got my gun. I walked back in. I shot them all in the head. Then I shot them all in the head again to make sure they were down.
So where was Ron at when you shot him?
Sitting in my chair at the table.
Sitting in your chair at the table.
And you know, when I told them they needed to leave, they didn't make a move to get up. They looked at her and decided they were staying.
They just ignored you.
And that's when I decided, all right, then.
I don't feel like Jesse has any remorse whatsoever. He's almost trying to justify why he did this. Ron, his father-in-law, for instance, is sitting in my chair, he says. He's sitting in my chair as if that's an excuse to go get a gun.
No. His wife I'm not going to condone anything he did, but it's one thing to disrespect a man. It's another to disrespect him in his own home. Not saying you go
automatic.
Yeah, I'm not saying you go out there and go do that, but obviously the parents, the father-in-law and the mother-in-law were in the wrong also.
Why? Their daughter does own half the house. Because when Linda said, I own half this house, where's the lie?
Due to the lack of remorse that he's showing, I think he was fed up. It sounds like they were being blatantly disrespectful to him. So
I'm not trying to justify. Nobody's trying to justify what he did because that was the wrong thing to do.
There are three people who are no longer living because this man decided he didn't want to be disrespected.
I guess what I'm trying to say is this could have been avoided on everyone's part.
By what? Her decision to have her parents in her home? Because
he
didn't want
his home.
Exactly.
He's not going to get away with this.
Hasn't. He was already
sentenced.
That's
why I think he sounds so calm and composed about what happened. Because he feels like in his brain, he's justified in doing this.
Well, whatever he feels, he's going to have to serve three consecutive life sentences with no possibility of parole, according to the judge.
So.
No matter what he says, how disrespected he felt, nobody in their right mind would do something like this.
No, you're right.
He has the callousness in his voice and the way he just, it's almost like he wants the police to somehow empathize with him and not his wife and the in-laws. There's nothing that the wife said that isn't true. It is half her house. Well, maybe this is what he wanted. He wanted to go live on his own. You know, his father was at home during this whole incident and his father is still living there.
What do you mean his father was at home? His father saw the murders?
His father was upstairs at the house while he did all this to his in-laws and his wife.
Oh my God.
His father's still living inside that house. Now he's by himself.
That's an interesting path to home ownership. That's an interesting route.
Well, in today's economy, is what it is. You know what? On that note,
the Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There is an incredible trend happening right now. I never thought I would say you should do this, but people are having thrift birthday parties.
What?
Thrifting birthday parties. So you give your whoever's going to attend the party, you give them anywhere from $5 to $25. Okay, that's the max though. And then you go into Goodwill or whatever local thrift store you have. But I'm sure there's some great ones. Who's got some good thrift stores to share with me? Call me up, 877-730-DCS1. So then after you do that, whatever you're wearing, you go to the party. You take pictures. And in fact, this little girl, she just turned 12 years old. Whatever you bought, you wear. And then you go to the party. So this little girl, she just turned 12. Hers went super viral. They go back to her house. Her mom made a house cake. Who remembers a house cake?
Hello.
I only had house cakes my whole life for birthday parties. And then they blew up balloons. They played outside in the sprinkler. I was like, what is this, my childhood? What is happening here? It was so much fun. They had pails. They had cute clothes, bathing suits, towels. They got so much stuff, and they spent $20 each.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, it was, and they actually did something good. They went to one of their local thrift stores. I just thought this was an incredible way to not buy more junk that goes back into the earth, to do something good, and it also lifts up the community. And it's cool, right? Going to the thrift store is cool now. When I was little, it wasn't so cool.
I was going to say, I have way too much PTSD from going to the Goodwill and Salvation
PTSD?
Army.
PTSD? Hold on. Why?
That's where we shopped. Like, I live next to the Salvation Army, and so my mom would always take us to the Salvation Army, and then we would go to school and be wearing kids' clothes that they had donated to the Salvation Army.
But you probably didn't know.
Oh, no, they would let you know. The kids would be like, hey, didn't I just donate that?
All right. Whoa.
I will say I got off with a really cool jean jacket in fifth grade for my fifth grade pictures that I was very proud of.
Otto, you were ahead of the trend. You are a trendsetter.
I think we know one person who's not going to be participating in the thrifting birthday parties.
No, I don't
want to
do that one, no. No?
We should do it. I also saw this story about a man who does thrifting. He goes into certain stores, and he finds items, fixes them, turns them over for a profit. He he makes 10 to 20 times more than he paid for the goods that he's finding. Recently, the story that they did was that he found this pool table. It was like, I don't know what was wrong with it. He replaced the felt and shined it up and sold it for $580.
I think he got it for $40.
$40.
Now, there's competitive thrifting is a thing, and there's a lot of people who make a good living off of thrifting and finding one person's garbage is another person's gold, right?
Yes.
But don't you ever invite me to a thrifting birthday party. Ever.
Anthony, why?
Hell no.
Poor birthday parties my entire childhood.
This reminds me of somebody when my one friend was like, yeah, bro, you should try taking a cold plunge. I was like, you mean a cold bath? No, dog. No, not at all, dude. Not at all, bro.
It's different. It's ice. It's to stimulate the body. It's like to get you going.
This also reminds me of when I reuse the same towel and I call it sustainability. I get it. I love the theme. I love it. It's for some people, just not for me.
Well, right? Our daughter
loves... That's definitely rich kid stuff. And that's why our kid loves it.
Ava Maddock is not rich. We are not rich by any means.
We're way better off than a lot of people.
We're way better off than we were when we were little. That's for sure. But Ava Maddock loves to thrift. In fact, Anthony, I'll tell you this. I have to beg her not to wear these old, grimy t-shirts. Mm. I'm like, Mia, you're going out.
I love it that she does it because her entire high school, I've spent like $100 total on clothes.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We have some free DCS merch to give away. You can win it. Let's play Who's Lying here on The Dana Cortez Show. And our contestant is on the line. Crystal, are you ready to play?
I am.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. You win. This song is my favorite. I love it. Sing along. I just want to give you the answer, Crystal. I can't do that. Okay. So obviously myself, Dana Cortez, my husband, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A, we are each going to go around the room and tell you a little bit about ourselves. Someone's telling a fib. You guess correctly, you win the DCS merch. So I'm going to go first. You know, I'm really lucky that DJ Automatic is a good cook. I'm so embarrassed to say that I'm not really good at cooking at all. When I do make meals, everybody complains, even though I try my best. And Automatic has a specialty. I'd never even heard of it. I don't know if you have. It's called shepherd's pie. I did not know what it was, but when he made it, I was like, this is amazing. Good stuff.
All right, DJ Automatic here. My dad is actually the cook in our house. He did about 90% of the cooking. He was great on the grill. He did amazing seafood. Mm. And to be honest, anything was better than my mom's food. She used to make chow mein, and then she did like all these crazy dishes that she would just make up. So my dad just handled all the cooking.
Yo, what up? Anthony A, and I'm a big meal prep guy through the services. Shout out to the homies who deliver. But my cooking might be too good for my own good, honestly. Last time I cooked for a woman, I made her some lemon garlic chicken pasta, and that led to an interesting 18-month relationship.
Wow. Crystal, if you guess who's telling a lie, you get the DCS merch. I don't even remember who's lying. Oh, I actually do. Who's lying?
Is it Anthony A?
No!
That's the only thing I know how to make. My boss, when I worked at the pizza parlor, showed me how to make it. And to top it off, I brought home some Olive Garden salad, which was a hit, too.
Gosh, no.
That's always a hit.
It really is. I'll take that, too. I'm lying. I'm a good cook. I cook almost every single day. And if I don't cook, Automatic has a fit.
Ah.
See, I almost said it was you. And then y'all's stories went together. I was like, okay, well, his dad cooked. He probably cooked.
That's what I thought. I told her this was going to be hard because of me going with my dad's story. But my dad did cook. And my mom, I mean, I love her to death, but that was not her strong point.
Oh, Automatic. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you playing. You can call back and play again next week. We love you so much. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank y'all.
Okay, bye.
Oh, bye.
Man, I wanted her to win. I really did want to give her the answer. All right, if you want to play, call us now, 877-730-DCS1.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Doechii is a Grammy Award winner. She won a BET Award a couple of nights ago, and for some reason, her speech about protesting peacefully is being called controversial. So I'm going to play it for you and let you decide. But first, Anthony, celebrity birthdays.
We have Diana Taurasi celebrating her birthday. Georgia Smith, Peter Dinklage, Shia LaBeouf, and Kodak Black also celebrating birthday as well.
Okay, so obviously we've addressed the protests that are happening all over the country when it comes to ICE and the way they're going about picking people up and deporting them, sometimes even United States citizens. So Doechii decided to address this while on stage, and for some reason, people don't like what she had to say.
I do want to address what's happening right now outside of the building. There are ruthless attacks that are creating fear and chaos in our communities in the name of law and order. Trump is using military forces to stop a protest. And I want y'all to consider what kind of government it appears to be when every time we exercise our democratic right to protest, the military is deployed against us. What type of government is that? People are being swept up and torn from their families, and I feel it's my responsibility as an artist to use this moment to speak up for all oppressed people, for Black people, for Latino people, for trans people, for the people in Gaza. We all deserve to live in hope and not in fear, and I hope we stand together, my brothers and my sisters, against hate, and we protest against it. Thank you, BT.
Not one thing she said, in my opinion, is controversial. She has the right to say whatever it is she wants to say. People, we have the right to assemble and to protest. It's peacefully guaranteed by the First Amendment. Yes. And I don't even know that it's peaceful. I don't think it says that in the Constitution, but I also do not condone burning and stealing and looting. What you do by that stupidity
is you just give the other side ammo.
You dilute what the protest is all about, because then it's just, look at all these criminals. The problem that I have with anyone who believes that this is okay is the lack of empathy, where mothers are being picked up and screaming, not even caring a little bit about what's happening to them, asking, begging, can I please pick my child up from school because I don't know what's going to happen. The problem I have is judges working along with ICE to basically arrest folks who are following the law. They're showing up to their court cases as they've been told to do, judges dismissing their cases, and then ICE arresting them and taking them to God knows where. Detention centers that have cost us, the taxpayer, hundreds of millions of dollars to build, putting them on planes and sending them to countries that they're not even from, even CECOT, one of the worst places on the planet, in El Salvador. The problem I have is that on January 6th, when there was this huge, massive insurrection, nobody came to help. There was no military called. There was no National Guard called. It was chaos. And you saw congressmen and women screaming and hiding and worried that they were going to be killed by a mob. That's not what's happening in Los Angeles, and that's not what's happening across the country. Cities all over are just asking for due process, which is also a fundamental right given to us by the Constitution. Do I want criminals here? No. But this is not a communist country. We're all afforded due process. And if you don't like it, then you should move to Russia. That's where they pick you up and disappear you. That's what happens there.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Yesterday, we got shocking news about the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni situation. Justin Baldoni filed a $400 million lawsuit against Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. A lawsuit against the New York Times that was, I think, $200+ million?
Yeah, $250 million for defamatory articles.
Yes, and the judge said, no, we're tossing it out, dismissed both cases in the same day. Why were these cases dismissed? We don't know. But our attorney friend, who's an expert in these kind of cases, Chris Carmona, can you break everything down for us, please?
From a legal perspective, you know, the question is, what took so long? In a lot of other states, we have what's called an anti-slap law. Mm-hmm. Anti-slap meaning slap, not like slap your face, but slap as in strategic lawsuit against public participation. So anytime someone uses a legal system to retaliate against you for exercising certain rights, such as your First Amendment right to free speech, right to use the courts, use the legal system to stop you from publicly participating, that is grounds for immediate dismissal. And so what happened in this case was that Blake Lively filed her suit, and in retaliation, Justin Baldoni filed his suit. Again, because it was in direct retaliation for her filing her suit, that is what's called a slap suit.
Oh.
So Blake Lively's team was right in filing their motion to dismiss for the legal people. I mean, we're like, what's taking so long? This wasn't a surprising move, something that we're like, okay, finally something happened, some movement happened on this case.
So is Justin Baldoni going to have to pay attorney's fees on her for Blake Lively?
in New York, I think it becomes more discretionary.
Oh my gosh. I would say yes, he would.
At the end of the day, I think he will be responsible for all of her legal fees.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what about her lawsuit? It's still pending. Do you feel like that might get dismissed, or it seems to be moving forward still?
No, and so that's the great thing about the current suit. It's not affected by that because her original action goes forward. She has the right to keep moving that forward, and the judge indicated that, you know, there's enough evidence to move forward on this one. If you had enough legal merit, or thought that the case lacked legal merit, you could have filed a motion for summary judgment, but the judge didn't feel that was the case in this manner. So her case does go forward and is not affected by this decision.
You know, you said you didn't feel like his was going to go through when we talked to you the first time, and here we are.
Yeah. You called
here
it.
Here we are. You called it. Yeah.
We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, right?
Thank you so much for keeping us up to speed on this. And obviously, as this Blake Lively lawsuit continues, we'll keep in touch so you can catch us up on all the legalities.
Sounds like a great plan.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, you have a great one.
Now, the bigger question, and I didn't think the lawyer would be able to answer it, is will Blake Lively and Taylor Swift be back on 100% now? Because they really haven't been seen together since Taylor was dragged into the whole situation.
I think it's definitely going to sour the relationship. I don't know if you'll see them at as many, I don't know if you'll see Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively at as many Chiefs games as we did last season. Mm. But eventually they'll get past it, maybe for the big wedding when that comes.
When Taylor and Travis get married?
Yep.
Hair's crossing my fingers.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.